Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
You have your Bibles here this evening. It's Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to give you a background on what this is. This is a sermon on a passage called the sheep and the goats. This is during Jesus' last week. And if you look in chapter 24, what happened, this is what they call, theologians have named this, the Olivet Discourse, because this was given on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, the way Jerusalem sits up on a hill, and then there's a valley, and they have a name for that valley. It's called the Kedron Valley. Then when you get to the bottom of the valley, then it goes back up the hill, and the top of that hill is called the Mount of Olives. So if you're on top of the Mount of Olives, you're just looking at Jerusalem, but it's really not that far. But it takes a good while to walk there because you have to go down the hill, back up the hill. So although a bird could get there very quickly because it's just a straight shot, but for a person walking, you would go down and back up. So Jesus is giving this sermon here on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, it is a time where he is going to tell, in many ways, some of his most pointed parables and teachings about the religious leaders, and he's also going to teach people how a lot of folks think they're saved, but they're really not. And that's in many ways our world today. There's many believers who are proclaiming to be believers in Christ, but they're not. On Friday, 2 days ago, I went back to First Baptist Church of Moreland. First time I've been there over 7 years. They flew me down there. You talk about a trip, David. I left the Lexington Airport at 11 a.m. I got back at this airport at 10 p.m. 11-hour trip, literally. Went there, went to the funeral, went to church. They fed the family. Went to the funeral home, spoke to folks. Went back to, then went to a Mexican restaurant. Then went back to the airport, and they flew back right up here. Just like that. But while I was there at the church, I saw somebody, and I have to be extremely careful because this is live on the internet right now. I saw someone who was very active in our church when I was there. Extremely active. They were a Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Not just Wednesday night, they taught classes on Wednesday night. And this person I was talking to, and they were at the church serving with their the kitchen committee, serving all the food to the family. So I just assumed, now if you see people at a church, you would assume they're in the kitchen serving food. They still go to that church. Like, they are active at that church. So I spoke to this person. It was a lady. And I spoke to her, and I asked, well, how are you still teaching your class? Or, I mean, how are things going? He said, well, I was shocked. She said this. Said, well, Daniel, you're not going to believe this, but we're shopping around for churches. I looked at her, you're shopping around for churches? Like, I'm thinking, you were like, your family was rock solid. Like, these are committed believers. And what was even more bizarre about this, she's still at the church that she's supposedly leaving, serving people. It's like, it didn't make no sense. I go, well, what do you mean? What are you shopping? What are you looking for? Like, what else do you need? What could be missing here that you're not, that you feel you're not gonna get, you're missing out over there? And it was just they didn't know. They didn't know anything. It was a sense of a lack of direction. She just did not know. You know, when someone falls out of a Sunday school class, someone all of a sudden, they had their purpose, they were coming so regularly, you start getting out of the habit of going, and next thing you know, you're like, well, maybe we don't really go there anymore, maybe we should go visit another church. And then you go to another church, and then you're not happy, then you go find another church, you're not happy, and you're just in this haze of just, I'm spiritually lost and confused somewhat. And I was talking to this lady, and I was actually inviting her back to the church I used to pastor, which was odd. And I even told some of you, y'all need to go, like, get them back. Like, these are core members here that are servants. And these aren't people with bad attitude, negative nails. These are good folks who aren't griping and wasn't speaking bad about the new pastor. They just got out of the habit. Well, what we're about to see here, Jesus is going to share with us a very similar story we're going to see here, this sheep and the goats. But I want to read this verse here. It gives you the background information here about where we're at, because understanding this is a discourse, and the sheep and the goat passage is at the very end. It says in verse chapter 24, verse 1, I have it up on the screen, as Jesus left and was going out of the temple, his disciples, so he's going out of the temple, his disciples came up and called his attention to its buildings. So he'd been in the temple teaching. That's what we saw this morning. Do you see all these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here on another that will not be thrown down. And that prophecy came true when Rome was destroyed. Rome destroyed Israel, and that was in 70 AD. And then in verse 3, it says, while he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, so Jesus has left the temple, told everybody it's going to be destroyed. He goes up to the Mount of Olives. The disciples approached him privately and said, tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Well, that started a conversation there that is actually going to end with the sheep and the goats. So what started there in 24 is actually going to go all the way over. Chapter 24 and 25 is the Olivet Discourse. It's a two-chapter sermon on the Mount of Olives, most likely on like Tuesday or Wednesday of Jesus, his final week. Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday is when this is occurring with that. So here we're going to skip over to chapter 25. So I'm going to read this story here. What's interesting about this is it does not tell, usually when Jesus teaches a parable, he tells us it's a parable, but here he does not tell this is a parable. So he's telling us about, in all of these stories that are in chapters 24 and 25, tie in with the coming of the Son of Man. That's very important, that verse I read just there in chapter 24, verse 3, because they wanted to know a sign. They wanted to know about when is the end of the age? When is this going to happen? And we ask this question today. All of us want to know, when is Jesus going to come back? When is Christ coming again? So here's the last of his, in all these different parables, he's answering that question. When's the Son of Man going to come? And then he's going to tell this story here about the sheep and the goats. And this one is not a parable. I don't believe it's a parable. I believe this is, he's saying this is what it's going to be like. This is the truth. This does not have a deeper meaning. He's going to plainly tell us what it's going to be like. And what's scary about this story here is it's not what you think. It's what this is going to tie into is about pure religion is those that actually not just believe, but actually take action and display their belief. That's what a sheep is, and they don't even realize what they're doing. So here, I'm going to explain as we go along. Verse 31, you're in your Bible, won't you follow along? 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory. Again, that picks up on what we just read. So every story in these two chapters is talking about the second coming of Christ. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right, and then He will put the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So there is this coming separation that will occur at the end of the age. It's interesting that Jesus chose his last, in many ways, one of his last sermons here. He's telling us in this Olivet Discourse, we learn so much about Christ's second coming. So we see the separation. Now, a sheep and a goat, from a distance in a field, you might not be able to easily tell the difference just by looking at them. Now, if you're staying up very close, you could tell that's a sheep, that's a goat. But just looking from afar, you would not know. So here's what it looks like for the people on the right, those who are the sheep. Verse 35, it says, "For I was hungry." These are the ones who inherited eternal life. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." So Jesus is telling his disciples this. The ones, and so they're realizing they're the sheep here. They have been following Jesus. He's telling them, "I was a stranger. I had no clothes on. I was sick. You took care of me. I was in prison. I was thirsty." He's saying, "You provided for me." So then, look at this. This is the key verse, these next few verses here in this story. Verse 37. "Then the righteous will answer him." The righteous are the ones on the right. These are the ones who are going to heaven. "They said, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?'" That means they don't even know what he's talking about. They're listening to Jesus and they're thinking, "What on earth is he talking about here? When did we see you like this? We never once saw you in this spiritual condition." And then here is the key verse in verse 40. Jesus answers that question in verse 40. "And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Now, here's what happens typically in interpreting that Bible verse. If you go to a liberal church that does not believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, they will take that verse we just read in verse 40 and say, "That's justification that we need to go and help the poor, help all the poor." But that's really not what Jesus is talking about. This is not about, this isn't go help the poor answer, because there's a key word that we missed here. "Truly I tell you," verse 40, "whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters," he's talking about not the general population. He's talking about the brothers and sisters. The brothers, and the word sisters, by the way, is actually not there. The word in the Greek is brothers, but our New Age Bibles put the word sisters as well, because it's brothers means men and women. And they're not just talking about generalized men and women. They're talking about believers, those who are in Christ. That's who the brothers are. That's who the sisters are. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Jesus just told his disciples, "You are blessed. You are one when you go and you help fellow Christians, fellow people who are in prison for the gospel, Christians who are suffering, those who are hungry, those who are in great need. That is a sign that you are a sheep." Now, remember this. This is what's frightening about this verse. This was given in the context of the second coming. Because remember in verse 31, he says, "When the Son of Man comes," meaning there's going to be tough times. I believe what Jesus is saying, during the last days, during times of persecution, other Christians are going to have to be helping other Christians. And that will actually be a sign that they're part of the sheep, that they will be helping and ministering to one another. And they don't even realize they're doing it. They do it because that's their nature. Follow what I'm saying here. If you're saved, you don't have to be told to go do good things. Your pastor should not have to beg you to serve. If you see a visitor next Sunday at Easter, I shouldn't have to say, "Will you go speak to this person? Will you open this door? Will you do this? Will you do that?" Because a sheep naturally does it. He or she meets the need. That's what Jesus is saying here. if you have to be prompted all the time, hey, will you do this? You just kind of wonder, where are you spiritually? When knowing Christ is, you have a relationship with the Lord. And then what happens? You out of that relationship with the Lord, it just overflows in every area of your life. So when you see another need from a believer, you just help them. The reason that family flew me down there and paid a fortune to fly me down there to Atlanta is because they had family members. The grandma wanted her grandkids saved. Because I had preached all their other family members' funeral. And sadly, some of their families dropped out of church. And grandma had a passion for her family to know the Lord. And she knew that was probably the only time those grandkids and great-grandkids are going to be sitting in front of a preacher. Because that is the world we live in. Where church, sadly, has become something where a lot of young people, they're just sitting around playing on TikTok all the time. They look at church as something they go to on Easter. Maybe they went to a VBS, and that's where grandma goes and all her friends. And that's their view. And Jesus is saying, no. Part of being in the kingdom of God, part of being in the sheep, you are going to find yourself going and ministering, going and serving, and you don't even realize you do it. It's unprompted ministry. So well, I think what Jesus is, the disciples are like, what are you talking about? Lord, you were never in prison, at least not yet. We've never seen you thirsty. In fact, you make living water. We've never seen you a stranger. You seem to know everybody. Like, so he said, no, guys, y'all don't get it. When you go help my fellow brothers who are in Christ, the least of these, when you go help them, you're ministering to me. Jesus is telling us there's going to come a time when the church community, it might not be a public building like this. It might be underground, and the Christians are going to have to rely upon other believers. And that will actually be a sign that you're saved. It'll just flow naturally from you. This idea of you're going to stock up yourself and hunker down in your bunker and live it out or whatever you're going to do and try to make it by yourself, that's not biblical Christianity. Christianity is a one another religion. Now keep going here in your Bible. Verse 40 is the key. Key there is that they're ministering to fellow believers in the end times. So verse 41, here's these other people. Those are the sheep. Verse 41, here are the goats, those on the left. It says here, then he will say to those on the left, so we've got this other group over here, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. So the exact opposite happened. These goats didn't do anything. Then they too will answer. Understand what's frightening about this verse. The goats think they're saved. Do y'all get it? The goats are in the same pasture as the sheep. Both these groups have the same shepherd. They've got what I think Jesus is saying is you're going to have a big group of people, and you'll have the shepherd Jesus there. And of the groups of people, everybody thinks they're saved. They both the sheep and the goats, they both think they're going to heaven. And from a distance, you can't really tell them apart. They're a very similar animal. They look the same somewhat. And these people are going to say in verse 44, they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? I never saw you. You never sent me an email saying you need some clothes. I had no idea there was a need. I had no clue. They're going to say, what are you talking about? When were you in jail? And then he will answer them. Verse 45. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Meaning, these people on the left, the goats, are going to be shocked. Shocked. They are going to think they're going to heaven. They believe they were saved. They thought they were going to where the sheep were going to go. Because they asked the same question. They did not understand. And it says in verse 46, these people, they didn't understand. They didn't do anything. They just watched and participated. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Both animals, the sheep and the goat, believed they were saved. Both were confused. Both didn't understand. When did we see you in prison and naked and didn't have anything to drink or eat? They're both asking the exact same question. They look the same. They ask the same question. Jesus said the same thing to them. The only difference between the two was the sheep. They were the ones that did something. They had a faith that took action. Now, this is also illustrated in the book of James. I have it up here on the screen. James chapter 1, verse 27. Last Wednesday, we had some adoption folks come and share about adoption ministry. And verse 27 is going to speak about taking care of the orphans. I want to tell you about orphan care today. Back technically, orphan care is a lot different than it used to be. Back in times of war, back in orphan times, care in times of war and in Bible times, technically, by definition, an orphan is someone who has lost their mother. It's a child, a mother who's lost their mother and father. So it's when a child does not have a mom and dad. But that's not as common. It's more rare to find people out physically losing their mom and dad. But actually, orphan ministry is rampant today. And here's how it is. It's not because mom and dad died in the war, or mom and dad are, they went off and some killed in a car wreck or something like that. Orphan ministry today is mom and dad are addicted to drugs. Mom and dad are in jail. Mom and dad have abandoned their children or just living, doing whatever. They're on fentanyl, living on the streets. They're begging at our stoplights here. Mom and dad are just running wild. And grandparents and great-grandparents and friends are raising the children. So you have orphans all around us here in Lexington. But the parents are alive, but they're not whatsoever active or they're part-time active involved in the children's life. So orphan care is phenomenally rampant in what you have. We have an Easter egg hunt here on Saturday. A lot of these children will be here. And grandma will be bringing them to our Easter egg hunt. You won't see mom or dad. We don't know where they're at. Grandma and grandpa will be there with their children because they're raising the kids. Or they'll be coming with aunts and uncles. They'll just, or sisters. I mean, just different types of family members are raising the children. So when we read about this, our responsibility, when we hear about orphan care, orphan ministry, what that really means today, that means broken families. That is broken homes. That's the orphan ministry today. That's children. God created children to be raised in a home with a mother and a father. And when that is broken up, God's plan and purposes aren't being fulfilled. And it's not that. And the children, they don't understand. They don't know where they know their parents are somewhere. They know they're alive. They just don't see them anymore because they come and go. Look at what it says here. So the Bible says we have an obligation to minister to widows and orphans. It says here in verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this. So here it is. Two things he's going to tell us. The Lord tells us that we are to look after orphans and widows in their distress. It's distressful to be an orphan or a widow. That means you have gone through a period of loss. You've lost your husband, and for orphans, you have lost your parents. But remember, orphans could lose their parents because they've got abandoned or mom and dad made poor choices. And it says, to keep oneself unstained from the world. What God is telling us in James 1:27 and in the sheep and the goats passage is two things. Your life, if your life says what you believe, differs from the mouth that says what you believe. Look at this. God's not fooled. He always accepts the testimony of your life. Meaning, your life, what it says, is more important than what your mouth says. Because the goats, they were saying the same thing, yet they went to hell. They did not know Jesus. There's always two ways to tell if someone's saved. It is. And the Bible is saying the two things. You love the Lord, and out of that love for the Lord, you love other people. And then what you do is the rest of the time is what verse 121 or 127 says there, keeping yourself unstained from the world. You are busy uprooting sin from your life. Meaning, what we do as Christians, what we want to always make sure we're doing is say, Lord, is there any area of sin? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there any bitterness, any anger that I need to confess? And the Bible's teaching us that we want to make sure that we live like sheep do here. Jesus is telling this. This is his last, in many ways, one of his very last sermons. And he's giving us a warning that there's going to be a lot of people who think they're saved. And they're in the shepherd, they're in the field with the sheep, but they're actually goats. And the goats went to hell, but they thought they were saved, going to heaven. Jesus also told us this in Matthew 7:24. He said there's many people who are going to look at him and say, Lord, Lord, and they start naming all the things they did. And Jesus will look at them and says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Jesus took the time of his last sermon to warn us about this fake, false religion. One of the ways we know we're saved is we're just serving other people, loving other people, ministering to other people, and we're not having to be begged or told to do it. We do it naturally. And then when you receive a reward from the Lord, you're surprised. I said, I had no idea. I was just doing what I knew to do. It's just what I'm supposed to do. If God has to prompt you constantly to do something, you say, Lord, I want to get to the point where I don't have to be prompted. It just comes naturally, where it just flows out of you. Religious activity is useless, the Bible teaches us. What God is looking at is he's saying, did you love fellow believers? Now, what about unbelievers? We are absolutely to love unbelievers, but remember, unbelievers do not know the Lord. And unbelievers, they most important need is not for them to receive a handout. That's what the social gospel does. That's what a lot of churches do. They take this and say, we're going to start just giving you stuff. What unbelievers need first is have an encounter with Jesus Christ. They need to get saved. Then after that, then they're part of the family of God. And other believers minister and encourage and bless them. And we have to be able to say, who else in our life are we being a blessing to? What needs do you see among the family of God that you just step in there and do that? That is what the sheep do. And we have to always look and say, could there be people in our family, in our home, that they think they're saved? And I want to tell you, this coming Easter is the time where they have a self-examination. Well, but in fact, they're really goats. If a Christian is content with going to church one time a year, that's not very confident in their salvation. If they feel that is their relationship with God is to come to church on Easter morning at 9 or 11 o'clock, that's it. And sadly, we will have a church filled with those people next Sunday. In this passage here, in Matthew 25, Jesus will look at them and says, get away from me. I never knew you. And it says they go to eternal punishment. They believed when they stood before the Lord, they were going to heaven. But in fact, they went to hell. The most important thing for us is to make sure spiritually that we are saved. And not only that, from our salvation, we're rooting out sin. And not only that, we're actually ministering primarily to other believers. There's a danger of going around ministering to lost people who do not know the Lord. This past Wednesday, last story I'm going to tell, this past Wednesday, we had a missions committee meeting. And we were talking about all the different mission opportunities for our church, looking at the summer of 2025 of where we could have a church-wide mission trip. And one of the gentlemen's in there, we talked about going to the Indian reservation. And one of the guys in there says, I've been to that Indian reservation 16 times with the previous church. He says, I'm very familiar with what they do. And he says, I wouldn't recommend it. He says, well, why not? He says, here's why. The people who live on the reservation, every week a different group comes in. And the different groups just give them stuff. They get food, they have games, and whatever they need to do that week, if they need to pray the prayer to get saved, if they need to, it's not even Christian groups all the time. They even allow non-Christian groups come in there. I mean, he was telling us each different week, one week the kids are Baptists, next week they're Mormons, and then if the Muslims come in, they just go for that. And they're just going, just following along. They do not understand what they're doing. And it's just, it's a free handout. And he says that's dangerous to have that type of mentality. A lot of times, the best way to witness to a lost person is to give them nothing. Saying, because if you give them something, they think being a Christian is getting something, some food or some clothes or a car, whatever you give them. What they need is Jesus. They need to understand they need to be saved. He is their greatest problem, not the things of this world. And I think what Jesus is telling us is that we have to make sure when we are doing, fellow Christians might need things to get by, especially during time of end times of persecution. But lost people don't necessarily need things. Their greatest need is Christ. Now, if you do give a lost person something, a cup of cold water, make sure, as Jesus says, it has to be in Jesus' name, because otherwise you've missed it. Ministry to lost people has to make sure the why is there. A lot of times when you're ministering to a fellow believer, you already know why. You know this is a fellow believer in our fellowship, in our church. They know the Lord. They're just experiencing hard times right now. You're helping them out. And there's a difference, and that's, I think, what Jesus is trying to tell us. We want to make sure that we understand this coming separation, and the separation is going to be shocking because many people are going to find themselves on the left of Jesus over here, and they're thinking they're saved when, in fact, they're not. We want to be on the right of the shepherd. You want to be a sheep, and sheep go about doing ministry to fellow believers. God, I thank you for your word. I pray this Easter week that we look at these stories and passages here out of the book of Matthew and how you are telling us and communicating to us about what it means to be a believer. You preach this sermon, one of your final sermons on earth, right before your crucifixion. Lord, I pray that if there's any area of our life that we are making assumptions or we're turning a cold, a blind eye or a cold shoulder towards someone, Lord, I pray that we in our life will make sure that we are doing it with pure motives. Lord, pure religion looks after orphans and widows, people in Jesus' day that had very little and they couldn't give anything back. And Lord, that is our ministry and service to others. We do things not to get back a reward, but out of our love for you. Jesus, I just pray this invitation. Lord, if there's a time to respond, it is time is now. Not tomorrow, it's today. Lord, I thank you for bringing us to Sunday night church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing. We're going to sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. David's going to lead us in our song. I'll be standing down front. You come take my hand if you want to make a decision. It's also our time you can join Broadway Baptist Church here on Palm Sunday.